From NPR News in Washington, I'm Shay Stevens. Thousands of flights are canceled in the Northeast, where a nasty storm threatens to cause blizzard conditions and as much as 3 feet of snow in some areas. Joanna Paz was among the air passengers struggling to get out of New Jersey's Newark International Airport on Monday.
1065 United, it was supposed to leave at 5:10, and we kind of knew it was going to get delayed, but we didn't think it was going to get delayed three times.
Kang Na of China is stranded in New York, where he says he's waiting for a flight to Boston.
My flight was canceled, and the earliest flight is Wednesday, 8 p.m. So I have to wait 2 days.
Travel bans are in effect for parts of New Jersey, southern Rhode Island, and New York City, where violators could be punished. As NPR's Joel Rose reports, roads and subways in New York City are off limits.
Light snow was already falling as commuters across the New York region rushed to get home. Governor Andrew Cuomo said the worst was yet to come.
The roads are already very, very dangerous, and they're going to be very hard to clear at the rate of snowfall we expect with the wind gusts we expect.
The storm is forecast to drop between 1 and 3 feet of snow across much of the Mid-Atlantic and New England. Forecasters say it has the potential for hurricane-force winds and coastal flooding. Travel bans were issued to keep all non-emergency vehicles off the roads overnight in Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, and southern New York. Officials in New York City took the unusual step of closing down the subway system, saying this storm could be one of the biggest in the city's history. Joel Rose, NPR News.
President Obama has told an audience in New Delhi that the people of India and the United States will both be more prosperous if the two democracies stand together. As NPR's Scott Horsley reports, Mr. Obama made the parting remarks before heading to Saudi Arabia, where he plans to pay respects to the royal family after the death of King Abdullah.
President Obama concluded his trip to India by speaking to an auditorium filled with young people, and he delivered the same message of middle-class economics he's been stressing back at home. Obama says America wants to be a partner in the next wave of India's economic growth, but he stressed that growth has to stretch from the skyscrapers to the slums.
The aim of our work must be not to just have a few do well, but to have everybody have a chance.
Obama is the first U.S. president to make 2 trips to India. Given the country's growing influence, he says he probably won't be the last. Scott Horsley, NPR News, New Delhi.
A Japanese envoy is in Jordan hoping to help secure the release of a Japanese citizen and a Jordanian pilot being held by the self-proclaimed Islamic State, or ISIS. Another Japanese hostage taken by the group was killed over the weekend. This is NPR News. Senate Democrats have temporarily stalled a bill to approve the Keystone XL pipeline. Republicans tried to cut off debate yesterday, but came up 7 votes short of the 60 they needed. Democrats say they want the opportunity to offer new amendments, but even if the bill does pass the Senate, it faces a White House veto. A new study finds nearly 250,000 college students have lived in the United States illegally since they were teenagers, and most have been granted temporary residence under the federal government's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. But as NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports, the study also finds that most of these students are not thriving in school.
Researchers with UCLA's Graduate School of Education surveyed over 900 undergraduates from 55 countries attending colleges across the country. Most were enrolled in 2- and 4-year institutions. 10% went to selective private schools. A majority reported a family income of less than $30,000, and almost all said they were struggling to pay for school. So much so that 74% had suspended their studies temporarily because they're not eligible for federal financial aid, or in most cases, state aid. Claudia Sanchez, NPR News.
Another new report, this one by the National Registry of Exonerations, says 125 people were cleared of crimes they were wrongly convicted of, or more than 34 than in 2013. The registry, a project of the University of Michigan and Northwestern University Law Schools, says more than 1,500 such cases have been overturned since 1989. I'm Shay Stevens, NPR News in Washington.
Support for